ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed anything from the first hour of the show, just go to podcastarena.com. Check it out. It's all there. And hope you're having a great Monday. Obviously, a lot of Texans talk in the first hour, a lot of NFL talk, a little bit of college football talk. Speaking of which, some breaking news. A quarterback actually going to Texas A&M. Trevor Knight, Oklahoma quarterback, is transferring to Texas A&M. No big shock there.
Well, good luck to him.
Yeah. Well, that's – I was never that impressed with him anyway.
No. And but, let me tell you who else isn't too broken up about it. Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to – we'll zip through the games from yesterday, but more looking at, you know, what playoff stuff that did come from it and also what coaching changes came from the games yesterday. And we'll start with Bills Jets. Your Bills get to 8-8 and knock the Jets out of the playoffs. Rex Ryan, old team.
Yep.
So, oh well, Jets.
Yeah, good win for the Bills. Probably the last game of Mario Williams' career with Buffalo.
Yeah, and came out there going to whack him, which makes sense from a cap point and standpoint and from the fact that they didn't use him right.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to the Bills and I hate to poo-poo it, but I think they made the wrong hire with Rex Ryan because the Rex Ryan hire automatically meant they had to blow up the one part of that team that worked, which was the defense. And it made so much sense to hire an offensive-minded coach, and they went the wrong way. And but at the end of the day, you know, Mario had a really good – he had a really good run there. They probably could have paid him and not Jerry Hughes, but, you know, I'm not a capologist.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he winds up. Dolphins beat the Patriots 20-10. This was when we were talking about all those things that had to happen for the Texans to get in. We just assumed the Patriots would beat the Dolphins. Not so much. And the injuries are mounting for the Patriots. It's a good thing they get a week off.
Yeah, they are in really bad shape. But like you said, a week off will do them some good. Ryan Tannehill had a good game, but it's really hard to know what. I mean, some of these Week 17 games, they don't really. It's a bunch of empty numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And Dolphins apparently interviewing Mike Shanahan. We're going to just keep digging up these guys.
If you were to rank the open jobs in the NFL, I guess Cleveland's probably the least appealing. But then Miami, right?
Probably. I would
like
say,
even San Francisco and Tennessee feel more appealing to me than
Tennessee,
Miami.
At least you got a quarterback in there. There is some talent there. You get the right coach in there. I would say the Giants job is the best, even if the Indy Colts job opens, because A, you've already got a quarterback there and you've got good owners. You'd have to deal with Jim Irsay.
That's true.
So I'll take the
you
Giants.
You might be right.
I'll take the Giants over.
Somebody asked us that on Twitter, and I said I'll take Indy if it opens and the Giants if it doesn't. But based on the ownership thing, you might be right that's probably the better spot.
Yeah.
Because you do still have a quarterback. None of the other open jobs have a sure thing at quarterback. I guess
you might feel okay about Mariota going into year two, but you're right. The rest of them is kind of eh. But as far as if I'm a head coach where I want to go to some place where I'm going to get a stable ownership and a patient ownership, I've already got a quarterback, I'd take the Giants job. Moving on, the Saints beat the Falcons 20-17. No word yet on whether Sean Payton's going to try to get out of there and get one of these other jobs. I think that's the big offseason question for the Saints is, do they move on from Payton? Do they move on from Drew Brees? And the Falcons wind up finishing 8-8.
Which, I guess when you think about what the Falcons did last season, it could have been worse. It's disappointing for them the way they started.
Yeah.
So, but that's a market improvement in year one under the new coaching regime. That's a pretty impressive bump. But I mean, when you start the way that they started, you expected better than that. I mean, a two game jump in the NFL is not a small thing. It's a good.
Yeah, for a new coach, it's an improvement, but the way they started, it feels like a failure.
They got to be better than that.
And that game ticked me off so bad because they're scoring like fiends in the first half. I'm like, oh, I got this over easy. 3 points in the third and 3 points in the fourth. That's it.
Yeah.
So I took a beating on that.
God, that team started out 6-1.
Yep.
And they had to win two out of the last three to go 8-8.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Bengals beat the Ravens 24-16. It winds up not really meaning anything for their playoff seeding.
Nope.
Steelers beat the Browns 28-12. And, of course, more off-field stuff with the guy who I'm tired of talking about.
Poor John Football.
But Steelers get it done, and they get into the playoffs, and we'll get to take on the Bengals again next week. Colts beat the Titans. Hey, well done. Josh Freeman off the street.
Yep.
They get to 8-8. Redskins beat the Cowboys.
I mean, let's face it. I said this before. I don't care what quarterback you're throwing out there. Zach Mettenberger is worse than him.
Yeah.
And he, again, yesterday was abysmal. That guy is just awful. I don't see what everybody else sees. Like, even the Titans ownership who sees something in him, I don't see it. That guy just looks really, really awful at football to me.
Redskins beat the Cowboys 34-23. The Cowboys finish 4-12, and we'll get a nice draft pick, and the Redskins get to play for another week, and they will take on the Packers. Eagles-Giants was basically meaningless, except Tom Coughlin now out of a job, which we talked about. So a lot of people asking, why is Jason Garrett safe? I'm not the biggest Jason Garrett guy, but you almost have to give him a pass because of Romo this year.
Yep.
And I think...
although you could make the same argument in Indianapolis, which I don't think they're going to make, but that's a guy that they were looking to get rid of anyway, I think.
Yeah, I think they want to keep Jason Garrett. I don't think they wanted Pagano around. Of course, Eagles and Giants both will be looking for coaches now. Lions beat the Bears 24-20. We'll have to see if the Lions are looking for a coach. Panthers finished 15-1 by beating the Buccaneers. Chiefs beat the Raiders 23-17 for their 10th consecutive victory that they will bring with them to NRG next week.
Yep.
And Broncos, Chargers, mostly interesting for the return of Peyton Manning as he came in for Brock Osweiler and leads the Chargers to Broncos to a victory over the Chargers, who apparently are going to keep their head coach even after a 4-12 season where they just weren't competitive in most of their games.
It's really fascinating that that guy is keeping his job because, I mean, I don't think Philip Rivers is an elite quarterback, but he's a really good quarterback. And they've got enough weapons that they should be better than what they are.
Yeah, and you look at them, it looks like there's talent there. But
4-12.
When
Philip Rivers is your quarterback, that's almost...
Oh, and they were blown out of a lot of games.
Yeah.
I mean, they just weren't... It never worked for them all year long.
One win on the road this season for San Diego. One.
Well, win four, that makes a lot of sense.
I guess also, Maybe it's better to have a guy come back, especially with this team. This whole organization is kind of in transition mode if they're moving and things like that. Maybe you don't want a new head coach in that situation. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that may be part of it.
They're going to have the third pick.
Interesting.
You should be able to do something with it.
Yes.
Find something to help you.
If I'm them, I think about trading down to one of these teams that's desperate for a quarterback.
Because I think not a bad idea. No, it's not going to happen because Cleveland's going to take that quarterback.
Well, but I think if everybody decides that Goff is a top five and Lynch is a top five, you're not going to – I mean, you're sitting 10. You might want to make a move up like that.
Yeah. If somebody takes Jared Goff top five, I don't know what I'm going to tell them.
Well, I'm not saying it's right.
Okay.
I think – but I do think if teams decide they want to, that's the direction they're going to go.
Yeah, I'm looking at the draft order. Titans aren't going to take a QB. Browns will.
They should. Yeah.
Chargers won't. Cowboys won't. Jags won't. Ravens won't.
Are you sure the Cowboys won't?
I'm not in the first round.
Romo's 36, and I saw an interview with Stephen Jones today where he talked about it wouldn't be a bad thing to have a guy that you draft there, and he comes and sits for 3 years. like Aaron Rodgers did and Steve Young did. I could see them doing that if they decide they like one of those guys.
I think it's if I were putting odds on it, 60%, like it just between two things, either taking a quarterback with the fourth pick or this other thing, I'll go 75%. Johnny Manziel is the backup. 25% take a quarterback with the first pick.
Well, we shall see. I don't like the quarterbacks enough to take them that high, but if they do, then that's the thing.
49ers at 7 are almost a lock to take a quarterback. And Dolphins at 8 are going to have to consider it.
I don't think the Dolphins will. I think they'll hang on to that guy for one more year.
Stupid.
They're
spinning tires with that guy. He's not good.
Anyway, well, we got a lot more to get to, but first you need to tell people about.
Yeah, we got a new sponsor to the show, Fred. If you don't like the job that you've got, you know, another boring day at a job that you hate, maybe it's a job that makes you work crazy hours or keeps you out in the heat all summer or out in the cold all winter. You're maybe just not making enough money. Ask yourself this. How many people do you know who work in the computer industry? And a bunch of people have buddies in IT, and not many of those guys are broke and can't pay their bills because there's a ton of computer jobs out there. IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest growing job industries in the country. The place to go to get the skills for this job is mycomputercareer.edu. It's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that are going to work with you to get you hired. And Houston is one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. They're hiring all over Houston. But to get the job you want, you got to have the skills and the certification. School is less than a year. It's going to help you move up in your career. But, you know, normally going to college would take years, right? You've got a family to support, mortgage, car payments. Not at My Computer Career. You'll be in and out in less than a year. Financial aid is available. You can use your GI Bill there. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Real quickly, we'll talk about the late game. Seahawks beat the Cardinals 36-6. It's one of those teams that I don't think anybody wants to see in the playoffs. The Vikings will get to see them. 49ers, Rams, who cares? 19-16. Although Tom Sula got blown out today also. So there's another job open.
Well, congratulations, 49ers. You are the new Raiders.
And
1 year.
Yeah, well.
And then did you see Harbaugh's snarky tweet about reap what you sow? I love it.
And the truth is, you're admitting you made a huge mistake.
Of course you did.
And we all knew it, but I'm glad you're admitting it. Good luck with your next coach. And Vikings beat the Packers at Lambeau and wind up winning the division. So good effort by the Vikings. And it's a pretty good football team when they're healthy. I don't know that I put them in the serious contender category because I just don't know if they're, you know, don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is ready to be that guy yet. But I like that football team moving forward. And I think they're going to be really good for a couple of years.
I think so, too. I like them defensively, too.
They've drafted really well over the last few years, unlike a lot of teams. Anyway, some of the coaching stuff, which if you there's actually a website called coachingsearch.com that if you're looking for a place to keep up with everything, they do a really good job. But one of the things they had on there that I found bizarre is, you know, talk of college coaches who might be interested in moving up to the pros. And everybody's going to call David Shaw.
Right.
But
they should.
Yeah, and he seems happy there, so who knows?
I would call D'Antonio also.
Yeah, I might think about that. I think his style would translate pretty well to the NFL. Yeah. But my favorite is that there's a couple coaches out there who reportedly would love to get to the NFL. One of them is Jim Mora Jr.
Okay.
Who has been there before.
Yeah.
And
been blown out.
And the other one appears to be Kevin Sumlin.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go on record and say that's not going to work even before he gets there. That's not really working in college right now, is it?
No.
Yeah. And A&M gave him They gave him the thumbs up, he's our guy speech over the weekend, right after they blew Jake Spavital out of there.
Yeah.
Which comes as zero surprise. Zero.
I don't think he's an NFL coach, and especially coming off all the stuff that just happened there, where you lost two quarterbacks, you really think that your guy an NFL team is going to look at?
No.
It just strikes me as, I think that's an agent trying to get his name out there and make him look good, when the reality is, well, I don't want to say there's no way an NFL team would hire him, because we see NFL teams do stupid stuff all the time. Could you see Jimmy Haslam just deciding, you know what? That Manziel was pretty good under someone. Maybe I should bring that guy in.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the Browns.
The right dummy.
Let's try a phone call. Leonard, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
What's up?
Dude, your phone connection sucks, man. Hey, are you on a speakerphone or something?
Turn him down, John.
We're not listening to you until you figure out what's going on with your phone. I don't know if that guy's on speakerphone or what. Is he still talking? Just hang up on him.
He's still talking.
He's on speakerphone, or otherwise he would hear us. Just hang up on him. Can't deal with this. I'm done with this, Fred. 2016 is a new year. I'm not dealing with speakerphone. I'm not doing it. You saw me. I came in here in a good mood, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And then one guy called and said, I'm on speakerphone. I couldn't tell if you were on or not. Yeah. If you're on speakerphone, don't call us. I'm not going to stand 6 feet away from the microphone and talk to you.
Well, I'm okay with you calling on speakerphone if you're driving and you're on hold.
Right.
And you want to listen. But when we go to you, you got to get off the
phone. Yeah, and if it's too much trouble for you to be on the phone, just don't call the show. It's all right. I can't deal with these phone lines, though.
I just want more calls about the Texans' path to the Super Bowl.
I don't want any more of that either.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Patrick on Twitter says, I'll say it now, if Manziel is a Cowboys quarterback, I'll become a full-time Texans fan. Won't look back. Fan circa 1989. I think it gets lost sometimes where when you root for an organization that – I know you're kind of like this because you don't like some of the guys on the Rockets.
Right.
When you root for an organization, if they start bringing in guys you just don't like – when do you pull a plug on something like that? Even if you've been a lifelong fan, when you say, you know what, I'm not going to root for a team that has this turd on it. I'm guessing some Cowboys fans had to deal with that with Greg Hardy.
I'm sure but most guys won't. Most guys don't do it.
Most people won't.
It's easier for me because I don't really care about any team, so I don't get sad when they bring in a guy I don't like. But Johnny Manziel may be one of those guys that would turn someone completely off from an organization. Like, that's the kind of guy that could do it, even more so than Greg Hardy.
Maybe so. I mean, he is a polarizing dude, and I don't know. I don't blame guys for wanting to. You know, you want a team that you like the players.
Yeah.
And it's like even I'm getting a little tired of JJ's hot dogging act. And pointing to his hand after he had the sack. Dude, it's the Jaguars. Come on, man. Anyway, let's try Andy. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Sports.
Sports to you. Hey, I know the the NBA deadline is coming up pretty soon for trades. What possible trades do you guys see coming up?
I don't know. The NBA is always surprises me because there's always somebody who you don't think is going to be traded who ends up popping up. I don't have a great idea on who's going to go. I've heard Jared Sullinger's name in basically every trade. The Celtics are apparently going to make some sort of big change, so I do feel like that's going to happen. But I don't know who else. I don't know who else. Somebody sent me a link today of a guy with Kevin Durant going to Golden State, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I still kind of think that the Kings may end up moving Boogie at some point. I don't know if it's a sure thing, but it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I think we're still a month out from that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no more, 2 weeks, something like that.
Did I miss something? Did I miss the month of January?
Yes.
We're getting calls about quarterbacks next year and draft picks and NBA trade deadline.
Yep.
So today's February the 4th, not January.
That's right.
Okay, I just want to double check. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk the Stanford route when we return. Then we'll have a gym of the day and squeeze in some more phone calls along the way. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I know we just signed a deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be wrong. Yeah, I need it.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I got a really big team. They need some really big.
Saw the speed on their last offensive play. They're in the red zone now. And here comes a reverse, and a reverse pass. Airs to the end zone. Wide open man. Touchdown, Chance Allen. Here's Ward heading to the end zone. His second touchdown. They made it look easy against that Florida State defense.
I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, mention or at least implore the recruits out there that and the high school football players that if you want to win championships and you want to win New Year's Six bowl games and win 13 games and kiss trophies and get really big rings and get a lot of nice things, better be coming with no strings, right? that you can certainly do it at one of the finest institutions in the country. And in my opinion, the greatest city in America.
And we are back on the Blitz. The man's already recruiting. How about that? Big win for UH. We haven't had a chance to talk too much about that, but we're going to change that because joining us now is former NFL and University of Houston cornerback Stanford route, as he does every week. You had to be pretty excited about that game.
Oh man, I loved it. Seeing it right there. Them boys coming out, playing hard. They came and hit Florida State in the mouth early on and didn't let up for the entire game. And to see that happen on that stage against a team of that caliber, man, it brought a tear to my eye. It seriously did. I loved it.
What'd your buddy Travis say about all that?
Oh, man, Travis went off on Twitter.
Yeah,
saying,
I saw some of that.
The Florida State didn't recruit guys like from U of H, and they don't care about the Peach Bowl and all of that. Well, maybe you should care.
Well, I do think there is something to that, but the reality is, I mean, it's a well-coached football team. It's one thing that they've done all year long is they've been prepared for their games, and they had a terrific game plan, and they went out there and executed it.
Well, no, definitely. Like, there's obviously a little bit of truth to it because Florida State has the five-star recruits, the four-stars, the parade All-Americans. I get all that. I understand all that. And it was even like that back when I was in college. But the one thing that I think Travis needs to understand is that there's a lot of guys at those schools that the only reason why they're even looked at by NFL teams and scouts is because of the emblem on their helmet, not because of how good they are. Now, I'm not saying that it's like that with everybody, but for the majority of those players on those teams, they're not even getting a sniff at the NFL if they're not going to that school.
I thought it was interesting. Florida State, two things that they did well all year. They played great defense. They didn't give up more than 25 points in a game.
Mm-hmm.
They protected the football.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Four interceptions, they give up 38 points, and I think you see that sometimes. The other thing about bowl games that I always caution people about, you're doing something you really only do one other time all year. You've got a whole month before the game.
Yeah.
And really that only happens before the season starts when you're leading up to the opener. And a lot of things can happen there. Some kids can develop.
You're also playing against a team that you probably don't know that well or even – that you're not even used to playing as to the Notre Dames, the Clemsons, the Virginia, Virginia Tech, Miami, teams that they play year in, year out. So I think that also might have a little bit to do with it. But even then, with all fairness, Everett Golson, he didn't play. He wasn't there handling some family issues. So they were going with their number two and number three quarterback. So you got to give obvious credit there that U of H wasn't going against Florida State at their strongest. But even then, above all else, it was still a great game, fun to watch, and it was very proud to see them step up on that big stage. It really was.
And they're recruiting like fiends right now, too, on top of everything else.
Oh, it's got to be great right now. It's got to.
Talk about the Texans a little bit yesterday. Because
I knew we were going to that one.
Did you get your AFC South Division hat yet?
Oh, no. I still got one from 2012. Okay. I can wear that.
Just checking. your thoughts going into
you
next
guys
week.
Really, really do not like the Texans.
I just don't think they're a very good team.
And we don't like them. I'm happy that they're
I don't
in the
dislike
playoffs.
Them at all. I just don't. I mean, I look at them and I look at their roster. Just look at their team and look at the rest of these AFC playoff teams.
Yes.
They're just not as good as them. It's not that I have something personal against them. They're just not that good.
Well, is it presently assembled outside of Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers and Tom Brady with the Patriots? You got Alex Smith. You got Brian Hoyer. You got who are the other
AJ McCarron?
You got AJ McCarron.
You got Peyton Manning.
Well, yeah,
He's back.
I love that. But you think that. You got the Bengals. Everybody thought they were going to go far. They got AJ McCarron now being the quarterback, but he's been playing pretty well. I'm not going to lie about that. But so as far as outside of, you know, Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, I know that's half of the bunch. You got some other quarterbacks that are kind of
Alex Smith has had a very good year.
I mean, he has.
He's not like a special player.
Yeah,
but he's had a very good year, and you know, I mean. And Hoyer's had a very good year for what we could have expected, you know, especially given the fact that he's been kind of in and out and concussed and benched at one point. I think Hoyer's performed pretty admirably.
Yeah,
but
he's gone through a lot this year.
But he's the worst of the bunch at quarterback. It's not a knock on him. He's not like these other AFC playoff quarterbacks.
Who would you take, Hoyer or McCarron? Both of y'all. I want to hear both of y'all's answers.
No, I'd probably take Brian Hoyer. Assuming that he's healthy, I'd probably take Brian Hoyer.
Okay.
He's had some experience. I mean, AJ McCarron is going to be at a playoff game, and it's like the fourth game he's ever played in.
Deer caught in headlights.
Yeah, that's a big task. But the rest of that Bengals team is built to win.
They're primed and ready.
And Fred, I mean, you can remember, how many years have we said the Bengals are there despite the fact that they've got Andy Dalton playing quarterback?
Now part of you wishes that they had
it. I mean, now they don't have Andy Dalton. Am I supposed to act like, oh, the Bengals have no chance because they don't have the great Andy Dalton? I mean.
Now, to be fair, Andy Dalton was having his best season by far.
No doubt. He was.
And that was one of the reasons why they were playing so well at the beginning of the year. But
as crazy as it sounds, when I watch the Bengals and I watch AJ McCarron, especially in the first half of last week on that Monday night game against Denver, I couldn't even tell that Andy Dalton wasn't playing based on the way AJ was playing.
Yeah, but he's going up against some bad defenses right now.
I'm talking about against that Denver defense last Monday night.
I'm talking about
first half.
Yeah, then they made some adjustments.
Yes, exactly. But for the first half, I couldn't tell that Andy Dalton wasn't playing. But you take that with a grain of salt. But like I said, I think that I can't totally disagree with you, AJ, about the Texans team. I can't. You really just look around and you're like, man, like Indy really just peed down their leg.
Yeah.
This entire season.
Well,
obviously Andrew Luck was hurt.
Yeah, Fred and I have said for a long time, Indy's a one man show, and when that one man's not, you know, he's either not right or not there.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a shock. To see that team be where they are.
No, it's really not. But.
I wanted to ask you, and I guess you are a good guy to ask about it. I mean, A, you're a cornerback, which is
you're making me nervous right now.
You're built to talk about this. But
B, like y'all said
if
me
I'm
up.
Not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when the Raiders took you, you came in 2005, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the year that Charles Woodson left to Green Bay, correct?
That was his last year in Oakland.
Okay. But they drafted you basically to groom you to replace Charles Woodson because they knew they weren't going to keep Charles Woodson.
Yeah, myself and Fabian Washington, they took in the first round.
Okay, talk about that year with Charles Woodson and...
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah. just, I mean, the, to me, I go, if I made, and I don't know the all-time team because I haven't, I didn't see, you know, Dick Night Train Lane play football. I don't know. But in my lifetime.
From Austin, Texas, by the way.
In my lifetime of the guys I've seen play in the NFL, since I've been watching football, he's on my all-time team as one of those two cornerbacks.
Oh, you got to.
So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that guy who ended his career yesterday.
Man. As crazy as it sounds that the Charles Woodson that you see right now, he wasn't the Charles Woodson that me, Fabian,
right.
us guys like that got a chance to ever really know. And I remember bumping into Charles back in 2007 after his first year in Green Bay at the airport in the offseason, had a nice little conversation with him. And the Charles Woodson that I played with in Oakland in 05 was the polar opposite of the one you see right now. Now, that wasn't his fault or anything like that. I come to find out that there was a lot of turmoil between Charles and the organization at the time, GMs, certain head coaches. I know Bill Callahan, he told me himself, Bill Callahan stayed in his pockets for finding him for everything under the sun. If Charles sneezed the wrong way in a meeting, Bill Callahan would fine him for something stupid. And there was so much turmoil between him and the organization back in that 05 season that it was just like a bad marriage that just had to end. I remember just talking to him, and I'm not going to get into everything on air, but I remember he said when he left, and this is a guy that was franchised 2 years in a row,
yeah.
that when he left, there wasn't any dialogue between his camp and the Raiders. Not even
like it was just assumed that he was gone.
It was and usually when a guy goes and finishes out his contract and he winds up going to another team, there's still some dialogue between the agent and the GM or the owner or whatever about, hey, do we want to kind of reconcile this? Do we want to try to make something work? Do we want to try to do something? There wasn't even that. There wasn't even a obligatory, just a courteous phone call between either of the two. And then all of a sudden he goes to Green Bay, and Green Bay uses him the right way with Dom Capers, and he takes off. And like I said, his first 8 years, I remember Charles went to the Pro Bowl his first 4 years. And then his last four, he kind of banged up here and there. And that's when it seemed like things kind of went wrong between him and the organization. And it was just like a bad marriage that needed to end. And then all of a sudden he goes to Green Bay. People would think he's washed up, he's done. Raider fans were, they couldn't push him out of the door quick enough. They really, really couldn't. Oh, he's done. We got to get rid of him, this, that, and the other. Then all of a sudden, he goes to Green Bay, and he gets on a good team with a good D coordinator who knows what the hell he's doing. And his career went from very, very good player, four-time Pro Bowler, to just like,
Hall of Famer.
Just like what you just said.
Yeah, so, one of the best ever.
Yeah, and just his leadership, everything that he displayed in Green Bay, I really, really wish I would have had a chance to play with that Charles Woodson. Now, obviously I didn't, but I don't even blame him for that. Like I said, you're playing on a bad team with a lot of nonsense going on with the head coach who's always trying to make you seem like you're the bad guy, guys in the front office always trying to point you out. That will breed that type of turmoil, and it will just make you just blatantly just not care no more.
Yeah.
It'll do that. So, like I said, it's great to see a guy like that just watching from a distance. You know, 18 years is wow. I don't think there's any other corner that's ever – done that, and I'm talking about like even Deion Sanders and Rod Woodson, who are my two favorites of all time. But
Darryl Green played a long time.
Yeah. He did also. But I definitely don't think you'll see that ever again, though. Not in this era with this way the NFL is shaped, and the NFL trying to go younger and things like that. I don't think you'll see that 18 years. I don't think you'll ever see it again.
Yeah.
But he's definitely one of the GOATs. Definitely.
Darryl Green played with the Redskins from 1983 to 2002. Insane.
That's a pretty good career.
All right, that's Stanford Route. Stanford, as always, man, appreciate the time. And,
yes, sir.
Look
Thank
forward to
guys.
Talking to you next week, and you can tell us how much we hate the Texans again after they play the Chiefs. So, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. To catch up on our shows, stay up to date on station events, news stories, contests, and more, log on to ESPN975.com. And if you want a copy of that introduction to sports betting, go to, very simple, go to podcastarena.com. Just click on the link on the Blitz page there. It'll take you right to it. And still makes a great gift, even if you missed out. And we have coming out this week, we'll have the audio version of Acing Racing just in time for Sam Houston. So lots of good projects in the works there. All right, let us do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Maybe should have done this before a Gary Trichter commercial. But a woman in upstate New York got drunken driving charges against her dismissed.
Good for her.
She had a very unusual defense.
Okay.
She was arrested while driving with a blood alcohol level more than four times the legal limit.
Ooh, that's okay.
She then discovered she has a rare condition called auto-brewery syndrome, in which her digestive system converts ordinary food into alcohol, her lawyer said in interviews this week.
What's that lawyer's name?
Joseph Marisak.
That's a good lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let... What state is this in?
This is in upstate New York. A town judge in the Buffalo suburb of Hamburg dismissed the drunken driving charges after Marisak presented a doctor's research showing the woman had the previously undiagnosed condition in which high levels of yeast in her intestines fermented high carbohydrate foods into alcohol. Apparently, the condition is also known as gut fermentation syndrome. It was first documented in the 1970s in Japan, and both medical and legal experts in the U.S. say it is being raised more frequently in drunken driving cases as it becomes more known. It says, at first glance, it seems like a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. Courts tend to be skeptical of such claims. I know I would be. But anyway, congratulations. He got a doctor to diagnose her, and she got off.
There you go.
And that's your Zadok Jewelers.
I need that doctor, too.
Yeah, well, she said at the end of the day, she had a blood alcohol content of 0.36. Says she did this without drinking any alcoholic beverages, which I'm sorry, I will remain skeptical of. But he said the woman also bought a breathalyzer and blew into it every night for 18 days, registering around a 0.2 every time. That's just because she was drinking every night. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Can we give our shout out of the day?
Indeed.
To Tracy's husband. Tracy, who's listened to our show for a long time, been a loyal fan. Well, at least a loyal listener. I don't know about a fan. But she says, can you give a shout out to Wesley, who's her husband? He passed his naturalization test today and will be a U.S. citizen. Hashtag America. Congratulations, Wesley, on becoming a citizen. That's good for you.
Don't get rid of your accent, though, because he's got a cool accent.
Is he going to give up the citizenship to the other country?
Yeah, I want to know that.
I want to know.
Are you going to be a dual guy?
Is he committing to America? That's what I want to know.
Is he Canadian?
No, he's South African.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which,
that is a cool accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. South Africans have the best accents. So will this help our rugby team is what I want to know.
I don't think so.
Okay. Aren't they pretty good at rugby over there?
I think so. But I don't think that,
that's why we
see, I think he watches. I don't know that he plays. He's a big dude, though.
He is a big dude.
I met him once. He's a large man.
Nice guy. All right. Anyway, there you go. There's your shout out.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about Deep South Barrels. I've been telling you guys about this since, since the beginning of December, for a little over a month now. And in that little over a month, I made myself some Macallan 12 Scotch, just like that, because you could do that with Deep South Barrels. They've got those little potions that turn well liquor into these fantastic liquors. You can make Johnny Walker. You can make whatever you want to make out of them. And it's not just, you know, whiskeys. You can do rums. They've got all kinds of flavors that you can do. Or you can just buy the shelf alcohol at the liquor store and turn it into top shelf, just like that. It's an amazing process, and it really does work. And I'm seeing it now myself, how it's working, because I've actually gotten to make some. And It would take a long time to complete, but you guys can do it right in your own home because they've got these small personal size barrels that let you turn the house liquor into top shelf. It takes just a month. Get started. Go to deepsouthbarrels.com. Use my promo code Hoffman. You'll get 10% off your entire order, including shipping. That's deepsouthbarrels.com. Promo code Hoffman. Deep South Barrels, bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. Are you?